Welcome to the Virtue Podcast. This is Tiffany Velasquez, and I am so glad you are joining us today. We are in the final chapter of the book of Mark. I remember the first time I shared the gospel with someone on my own. I was about 10 years old. I had grown up on the same street and one street over from my two best friends. We did everything together, but we came from very different homes. We all had loving families, married parents, which was becoming more and more rare at the time. We all had siblings, but only my family were Christians, and I would bring my friends to church. We would invite their families to Harvest Crusades and Easter services, but I don't recall them ever accepting our invitations, but until I was about 10 years old, and me and my two best friends were sitting in the spa talking, thinking we were probably older than we were, talking about life as 10-year-olds do, and all of a sudden, in response to one of the things my friend had just shared, I felt this almost supernatural feeling come over me. I opened my mouth, and the gospel message was just coming out almost as if I had no control over it. And in the back of my mind, while I was still talking, I was thinking, where is this coming from? I knew the words I was saying were not of me because I was 10 and not that equipped. But I also knew and believed the power of the gospel in my heart and mind because I had first been changed by it at a young age, and so had my parents, and they had raised me in it, and I believed it. That day in the spa, at 10 years old, I had the chance to pray the sinner's prayer with my best friend, only one of the two, and she accepted Christ right there. When we got out of the spa, I was supposed to spend the night, but I was so excited to tell my parents about what had happened, and I also had questions about how it happened, so I called them, and they picked me up, and as soon as I got in the car, I told them about what had happened, and my mom explained to me that that was the Holy Spirit working through me for my friend's salvation. It was the power of the gospel. The full gospel, the life, death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today in our text, our final session in the book of Mark, we read about Jesus' body being sought after by a brave man named Joseph, who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and how Jesus' body was prepared for burial, buried, and then the remarkable, powerful, and final step of the gospel message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's read Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 42, and then I'm going to read a little of chapter 16 as well. You know, there's power when we read or listen to God's word shared. So in verse 42, it says, "This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, as evening approached. Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, so Pilate told Joseph that he could have the body. Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth, and then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in a cloth, and laid it in the tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid." Chapter 16. Saturday evening, when Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way there, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone had already been moved. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there, just as he told you before he died." Verse 9, "After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman whom he cast out seven demons." Down to verse 15, this is after he had appeared to the disciples, and then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved." Verse 19, "When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them." There are so many things to meditate on and elaborate on in this text, and I hope you do, or I hope you have already. So many things that bring wonder and awe and thankfulness to our hearts. But the most important thing, of course, is we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? You know, we cannot effectively share the gospel, live out the gospel, or be changed by the gospel apart from the resurrection. The Apostle Paul said it emphatically in his letter to the church of Corinth when he had heard that some of the church were skeptical about the resurrection. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." That's how essential the resurrection is. Our faith is built on it. No one else before or since Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus is the only one who has died, been buried, and on the third day raised from the dead. With the resurrection, we have the whole gospel. I love it said this way: the resurrection of Christ is inseparable from the gospel of Christ. The resurrection of Christ changes everything for us as believers, and it's important for us to know why. So I want to share just four ways in which the resurrection is life-changing and applicable in our everyday walks with the Lord. And my hope is that you would be stirred with a renewed sense of gratitude for what Christ has accomplished for us as he rose from the grave, like I was when I was studying this text. I think it's something that we tend to, yes, really emphasize and be aware of as believers around Easter. But man, this is everyday Christian living truth, and it stabilizes us to be reminded of and thankful for it daily, especially right now. So the first thing I want to mention that the resurrection brings about is freedom. We love that word, right? Freedom, the opposite of bondage. While the resurrection brings about indefinitely the most important type of freedom we will ever experience, and it comes through the complete workings of the gospel and the resurrection. When Jesus rose again, he conquered, defeated, and crushed sin and death. And get this, his victory over those things is mercifully our victory. He imputed, as Scripture says, or he credited that victory to us as believers. It's really unbelievable, the truth in that. I mean, did you know that when God the Father looks at you as a believer, he sees his Son, his perfect Son, Jesus, because of the gospel? Now, you and I are going to struggle with sin. We're going to be tempted by it. We're going to fall into it. Some of the sins in our life are going to be removed from our life gradually, and some are going to be immediate. But we're no longer bound by our sins. We are not stuck in our sins. We are free from them, and we are forgiven. Because of the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross and the reality of him rising from the dead and what that accomplished for us, the gospel and the resurrection bring about freedom from our past, freedom in our present, and freedom for our future. Our past alone, just think about that. That's a celebrated freedom in and of itself. I think so many of us struggle with not accepting the forgiveness and cleansing from our past. We allow it to dictate our future and trip us up or hold us back, maybe in your marriage, or maybe as a parent, or maybe in some other relationship, or maybe a past addiction or some sort of anger, whatever it might be. Remember, the Bible says that in Christ, anyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This freedom that Christ gives us is from our past, in our present, and for our future. We're free from the bondage of sin in our life now. John 14:19 says, "Because I live, you also live." That's what Jesus said. Through Christ's new life, through his resurrection, we also receive new life, which is freedom. Secondly, the resurrection brings about security for us. In 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, the Apostle Paul said, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." And what that means is, in Adam, who sinned, we've all sinned, right? And in that state is death. But in Christ, as believers, we live. So what happens to us after our life here on earth as believers is secured by the resurrection. Our place in heaven with Christ is confirmed and established because of it. And we can rest in that and we can walk in that. I know right now that that's such a great comfort to those of us who are suffering or those around us who are hurting and suffering such great loss in this season of a worldwide pandemic and all sorts of other things that are going on in our world. I know so many of you right now are grieving loss in some way. I want to tell you, you're not alone. God is with you, and the body of Christ is here to live as family does and to be the hands and feet of Christ as we can. If you know someone who is suffering in some way right now, ask the Lord, what can you do? We've seen some beautiful displays of love around here in this season. Because of the resurrection, our absence from our fleshly body means that we're present with the Lord. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, though his fleshly body die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's eternal life with Christ. And the resurrection gives us that security. Thirdly, the resurrection of Christ gives us the power to live our lives for Christ. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which he does, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." The resurrection promises us not only life after death and life during life, but it also promises that he will give us power to live the Christian life here on earth. And the resurrection brings about hope. And more than ever, we need hope. The resurrection brings about hope because as a result of it, we are free. We are secure. Our future is secure. And because we have power in him, it brings hope because we're alive because he is alive. Job 19:25 says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. I love what Pastor Greg says. He says, the resurrection is no peripheral issue. It provides power to Christianity, freedom from sin, and joy to the followers of Christ. That day in the spa with my two friends at age 10, sharing the gospel for the first time, I saw and experienced that real, actual power on display and working. I also love that in these verses that we just read, we see such a presence of these faith-filled women who were committed and motivated by their love for Jesus. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, Mary, the mother of Clopas, and Salome, the mother of James and John. The Gospels tell us that these women were all there. These women were bold, they were tenacious, and they were devoted, and they were faithful disciples of Jesus, and Jesus loved them. Jesus cared for them, he valued them, and he even depended on women all throughout Scripture. We know that he loved and cared for his mother Mary, right? When he looked down from the cross and charged John to love and care for her. He defended that brave and faith-filled woman we just read about who poured that expensive perfume on Jesus when everyone else questioned and mocked her. We read about the women at the well that Jesus offered living water to, and he forgave her of her sins. We know that there were so many faithful, devoted women who loved, served, supported, and followed Jesus. And he saw them, and he loved them with an everlasting love. And he loves you with that love that knows no bounds. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. After Jesus revealed himself to Mary after the resurrection, he then commissioned her to share the gospel. And that same commission is for you and I. You know, sharing the gospel might look a little different now, but the fields are white for harvest in this hurting world, maybe now more than ever. People are confused, they're hurting, and they need the message that you have, the message that changed you, the message that changed me. You know, the gospel is power. It's what has the power to change a person and give hope to a hurting world, and we have the tools to share it. We may not all have what we once had, meaning that we may not be standing shoulder to shoulder with as many people as we once were. We're interacting with fewer people than before. But what can you use? What do you have to share the gospel? Well, we have our story, right? You have the power of your testimony. What changed you? What changed me? We also have the Word of God, which promises to never return void. We have access to the Father and the power of prayer. We have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God in you, that very same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. And we have the family of God, which is the church, to pray for us and to help give us tools to share our faith. I think of things like harvest.church. I think of this podcast. These are tools that we have in our hands to get the gospel out. We have resources such as social media, email, texting. We can handwrite letters. And all of those things can be used to be gospel bearers for Christ. That final verse that we read in the book of Mark says, and they went out and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. Remember, the Lord is with you too. He's with us in all of it, all that we're going through. He promises that. He promises he will never leave us. And my prayer is that these scriptures of Christ's resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of the Father in heaven will encourage us, that they will spur us on, that they will comfort us and impact us in a way in which we cannot help but share it with others.